Okay. I'll let you handle the technology. I have to say, this is really cool. This is really cool. It's so great to be able to be here to share the service with you. Thank you, Ted, for those kind words. I know once I start down memories lane, we won't go anywhere, but I need to say this. I worked at the Teen Haven at 4th and Susquehanna for years. And there was a fella in our neighborhood who moved up to 11th Street. His first name was Earl. I don't remember Earl's last name. Earl knew about Teen Haven. So actually, in a sense, Earl was a missionary. He and his family moved from down our way up to 11th Street in that area. And he called me and said, we need to take these neighborhood guys to Teen Haven Camp. So based on what Earl told me, I took a night and drove up there in the Teen Haven van. You have to imagine the Teen Haven van was an early van, okay? It had mechanical difficulties, but we lived through that. And it had the name Teen Haven in big print on both sides of the van. You couldn't miss it, you know. You could not miss this van. And I remember going up there, and the van became the meeting place in a very real sense. When people saw Teen Haven van, they knew that it was Teen Haven. I had staff members that said, it's Doug's church up there, you know, up on 11th Street. But we had some special times. And thank God for the camp. And thank God that after all these years, the camp is still going on. It's under a new auspices. It's not Teen Haven anymore, but it's called The Haven. It'll be a place where families and young people can come and hear the gospel. And the neat part about it is that one of the first people that trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior through the Teen Haven ministry back in 1964, who is now a pastor, okay, and it's his son who has taken over the Teen Haven, what used to be Teen Haven Camp, and their desire is to see it used for the glory of God. So it's an absolutely amazing story. Think about all the years and all the things that have gone on. Praise God that God gets the glory for all of that. Like I said, I can get started on stories, so I won't do that, but I appreciate being here this morning. One of my favorite verses down through the years is a rather long verse. And I have to tell you that when I was growing up, a very young teenager, I think it was 13 or 14, and my mom found out about these verses that you could memorize. They were produced by the Navigators. You may be familiar with the Navigators. And the Navigators at the time were working with Billy Graham because Billy Graham was very concerned about following up people that come to faith in his services. So the Navigators put together a scripture memory pack. It was called B Rations. B stands for Bible, but it was just called simply the B Rations. And there were four verses in that pack. And my mom ordered these to give to her Sunday school class. And she had an extra one after she gave them to each one of the girls in her Sunday school class, and she took one herself. So she gave the extra one to me and challenged me to memorize the scripture. And one of the longest verses, there were four verses, and the other three were pretty easy to memorize. But this one was difficult. It was a challenge. But after I learned it, over the years, it has become very, very precious. And it's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. I'm going to see if I can say it by memory. I put my hand over it because I do have it on my notes. But it's 1 Corinthians 10, 13. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear. Now, I was so pleased that I was able to memorize that verse, and kind of pleased that I could do it word perfect in front of Mom. Mom was tough sometimes. And never really considered back in my teenage years how that would carry on in my life down through the years. And that verse has been such a great promise. But I was teaching this verse, believe it or not, in one of the Teen Haven cars. It wasn't the van, in one of the Teen Haven cars, with a group of guys from 16th and Wallace. That's where I started out. I came from a farm background, okay? I came from northeastern Pennsylvania, up north of Scranton. So far back in the country, they had a pipe air back there. And somehow, God puts things together you cannot understand. And this country boy was called by the Spirit of God to come to the city and to work with Teen Haven, and I'm thankful for how God leads in your life. So, I had this group of young guys in a van from 16th and Wallace, and I thought, the verse, you got to redeem the time, right? So, you're there, and I'm thinking, what can I share with them right now? We were on the Roosevelt Boulevard going down back to 16th and Wallace. And so we had the whole boulevard and the expressway. And I said, you got to redeem the time. So I quoted this verse. And I said, guys, we're going to have a little Bible study. Now, I was driving, all right? But I told them, if I pray, I'm not going to close my eyes, so don't worry about it. And I shared the verse with them. Now, that's a long verse. And I said, guys, what do you think that verse means? Now, none of them had a Bible in the car. And they had just heard me share this rather long verse. And one of the guys in the car, whose nickname was Caesar, looked at me and said, Doug, what that sounds like to me, it sounds like this. It sounds that, hold on a minute. It sounds to me like God's got your back. And I said, that is excellent. And you could buy lots of commentaries about 1 Corinthians 10:13, and you might not ever find anything so simple. He said, I believe what the verse means is God has got you covered. And I thought, wow, that's a great way to look at it. There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God's got your back. He's got you covered. Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 2, the Lord knows how to rescue godly people from their trials. And certainly that underscores that wonderful truth. So when you look at Scripture over and over again, you're reminded that God intervenes in really unusual, supernatural ways. When Noah was told that there was going to be a flood, and he couldn't comprehend it, but God brought he and his family through the flood. When Abraham left his homeland, God was there. But God told him to leave and go to a land that I will show you, God was in the mix. He was going to carry him through. Abraham left his homeland and his family and stepped out on faith. Sarah, Abraham's wife, was barren and old, and laughed when she heard the visitors say that she was going to bear a child because she couldn't believe it. But God did the miraculous for Sarah. Abraham offered his son Joseph up on the mountain, but God undertook in that situation too. When you read the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis, Joseph was his father's favorite, which meant with 12 older brothers, if you're treated as a favorite by dad, you know you're in trouble with the brothers. You read that story and you understand all the human condition. And his brothers hated him and they wanted to kill him. They saw Joseph coming with that brand new coat that dad had given him. They didn't get any new coat, but Joseph got this beautiful coat of many colors. And then dad sent him to see what the brothers were up to. And they see him in a distance. They can't miss him because of the coat. And they're plotting to get rid of him. This is the time we're going to kill that guy and put him away. And finally, one of the brothers said, "No, wait a minute, we can't kill him." They were going to take his coat, put a little blood on it, and take it back to dad and tell him he had died. But they sold him to some people going to Egypt. You see God's hand at work in Joseph's life. They wanted to get rid of him, but God stepped in. And then he gets to Egypt and he winds up in a general's house. The general's name was Potiphar. And God blessed Joseph in such a way that he had rule of everything in Potiphar's house. But Potiphar's wife really liked Joseph a lot. And Potiphar was gone on whatever campaign he was supposed to be going on. So it meant she was alone and she tried to make out with Joseph, and Joseph recoiled from all of that. But when Potiphar found out about it, he threw Joseph into prison. You think that God's forgotten Joseph, but he never has, because God has a greater plan. And eventually, Joseph is able to share the meaning of dreams with the king. And then the king makes him second in command of Egypt. See how God is faithful. But God is there in the midst. And then, the very last chapter of Genesis, I love this. Joseph's father has passed away. You remember that Joseph brought dad and the brothers and their families down to Egypt, okay, where he was. And he provided for them and made sure they had a place to live. But now dad's passed away. And the brothers are getting together and they're thinking, what if, now that dad's gone, Joseph, our brother, could begin to think back like, here are these rascals I wanted to get even with all of this time. And maybe Joseph is going to do something, throw them into jail. They had no idea. So they went to plead with him that he would remember their father. And here's Joseph's comment to the brothers. He says that this is very powerful. "Don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. But God is faithful. He's faithful to his people. He's faithful to us. In times even we're not faithful to him, God is faithful to us. I could give you so many different personal illustrations of his faithfulness to Charlene and I, of how he's undertaken in our lives at times we had no idea what we were going to do. And I'm sure that's the testimony of a lot of folks that are here who have lived long lives loving God and just being part of God's family. But God is faithful. You heard this morning from Lamentations chapter 3. He is faithful every day. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh every morning. I try to remind myself as I get out of bed every morning that this is the day that God has given us. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I need to be reminded of that because you know that things don't always turn out the way you'd like them to turn out during the day. And you want to give the day first and foremost to the Lord. He is faithful. He carries us through from day to day. His mercies are fresh every morning. God is faithful in the battles that we fight. You know, I'm not talking about going off to war. I mean, like being in the Army or Navy or whatever. I'm talking about the battles that we fight in our own lives every day. There's not a one of us that doesn't struggle with some issue in our life that we seem it's difficult to resolve, but God is faithful to us. That's why Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians, he will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be free from all blame on the day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says, and he has invited you into a partnership with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. There is a relationship that we have with Jesus that carries us through the difficult times. He is faithful. He is faithful. God's not only faithful during our day-to-day battles and struggles, he is faithful through our entire life. Now, I remember those days back in Teen Haven. I can tell you about some of the things that happened. One of the experiences I had, because where we were at 4th and Susquehanna, is best known during those days as being Zulu Nation territory. Zulu Nation was a large gang. They had pretty much taken every young person in that neighborhood and they became part of the gang. And I got to know some of the guys that ran the gang, like Prince, although he preferred being called Black Prince, but and Arnold, and I can name all of them. There was one guy named Crazy who was probably the only Puerto Rican member of the Zulu Nation. And because of his background, he did everything he could to act crazy so that he would get a reputation with the guys in the group. That was back late 60s, okay? Last week, we had a get-together of some of our Teen Haven kids. They're no longer kids. Crazy couldn't be there. I used to think there was no hope for Crazy. I've met a lot of people that I worried about, but I worried most about Crazy because he was so bad. I think I threw him out of Teen Haven physically. I couldn't have done that now, but in those days, I threw him out physically so many times I lost count. He would come in and sit in the back room and sift glue to the point that glue actually would form on his nostrils. And I would always, and he would do it so he'd be out of my direct eyesight. And then all of a sudden I would smell the glue on one of those nights when it was cold outside and there was lots of heat in Teen Haven. You could start smelling the glue. I knew it was crazy. I'd go in, I'd usher him out, and then we'd get to that front door, and sometimes he would try to restrain me, and then I would have to push him out of the building. I think back on those times, see how God was faithful because, let me share with you about Crazy's story. I pastored a church, I pastored Fellowship Church back a few years ago. One night I stepped out on the steps of Fellowship Church, and I was talking to somebody who had been at the service and getting ready to go to my car when a car came around the corner from 6th Street. And all of a sudden it stopped in front of me. And, you know, you worry about that. You know, not sure why it's stopping. Why is it stopping? And all of a sudden I saw the door open and a guy got out and ran around the car and came up on the sidewalk and embraced me. And I didn't know who it was. So I had to push him back a little bit. And all of a sudden I said, "Crazy?" And he said, "Brother Doug, I want to introduce you to my family because you're my youth pastor." I'm like, okay, something's going wrong here. Youth pastor? Crazy doesn't fit. So he introduced me to his family that night. Crazy had just trusted Jesus over a short period of time and had gotten involved in a church. His real name is Frank Vega. And Frank turned his life over to Jesus Christ and pastored a church in his old neighborhood and reached those people that he had grown up with the gospel. Frank was so... God used him in such a dramatic way. And in June, Frank passed away. His health had gone downhill, and Frank passed away. And to be at his service and to hear people testify about how God had used Frank in their life, you know, you're like, wow. You're like, I remember Frank when, but probably the greatest moment of in that story is this. When Frank came to me and said he was going to be ordained, like looking at this guy who I've known as Crazy all these years, who actually acted crazy. Now he's telling me he's going to be ordained. Are you kidding me? Really? And I went to the ordination held over in West Philly, and the pastor who was in charge said, "Can I ask you about Frank?" And I just started saying, what God has done in Frank's life is an absolute miracle. And I said, I'm so grateful. This is something I would have never imagined when he was 14 or 15. And that night, as Frank and his wife came to kneel at the front of the church, I had a glorious opportunity. Pastor looked at me and nudged me and said, "I want you to pray the ordination prayer. You know more about Frank than anybody here." I had the opportunity to set him aside for ministry. That was, and what an amazing, but God is faithful. God is faithful. It works out during your lifetime. He is faithful. He is worthy of our trust. Allowing God to do in you what only He can do and what He's promised to do is what it's all about. That really is what it's all about. I share with you words that have always been a great deal to me, and let me share these. This is all about God being faithful. In my moments of fear, through every pain and every tear, there's a God who's been faithful to me. When my strength was all gone, when my heart had no song, still in love, God's proved faithful to me. Every word, God's promise is true. What I thought was impossible, I've seen my God do. He's been faithful, faithful to me. Looking back, his love and mercy I see. Though in my heart I have questioned, at times even failed to believe. But he's been faithful, faithful to me. But God is faithful. He will carry you through those tests, those times when you think the bottom has fallen out. God is faithful during all of that time. He longs to do his work in our hearts. And so I can assure you, after all these years, I look back on all the things that have happened in my life, I know God is faithful. Rich Mullins, who was a contemporary gospel singer, was trying to figure out what to put as some comment, because people would ask him to leave his autograph in their body. And he was trying to figure out exactly how he should write it. And then he thought, the biggest thing that we need to keep in our minds that we belong to God. So his autograph and the statement was, be God's. Be God's. And when you desire to be God's, you will know his faithfulness to you. Lord, how grateful we are for your love. You've put up with us over these years. You've you love us. That's the amazing thing. And you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. And Lord, we're grateful for how the scripture works in people's lives. Lord, I'm thankful for my brothers that are here. Lord, I ask you to continue work in their heart and life. Keep reminding us, Lord, that you're faithful. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.